In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This is my favorite time of year, Great Lent. I love Great Lent. Because Great Lent is a time, as I've told many of you before, it's a time you can just tell the truth. You can just tell the truth about yourself every day. You can say the prayer of St. Ephrem and really mean it. And be a little bit more focused than you are during the rest of the year. Be great if we were really focused all the time, but that's really not possible. We know what we're like. So we have this 50 days or so, really. It's called a 40-day fast, but that doesn't count the weekends. So if you really look at it, it's about 50 days. And that's a time to focus. That's a time to, as the apostle says, to know the time, and that it's high time to awake out of sleep. Do you think that you're sleepy? The sleepiest people don't think they're sleepy. We should know that we sleep. We sleep in our sins. Our passions just color everything we do and say. Which one of us hasn't done something good and then felt that sting of pride, that self-satisfaction, right? It happens all the time. Just our sins are just always present. Of course, God is present. God's grace is present. And we do marvelous things because God is within us. But we also have this capacity, unfortunately, to forget. We're trying to learn not to forget. By the way, forgetfulness should be right at the top of your list when you go to confession. Because there's not a person among us that doesn't forget. We don't forget that we're Christians we do forget that we're Christians. Because sometimes we are angry at a person, or we judge a person, or we're lazy, or we just do something we know we shouldn't do. Or that's forgetting we're a Christian. So forgetfulness is just a common, terrible human malady. And we are to try to awake out of this forgetfulness, awake out of this sleepiness. Why? Because now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The beautiful thing about Lent is that it opens up your heart to God, and light comes in cracks that your heart didn't have before, and illuminates parts of your heart that were dark. It's a growing process. It's really just a beautiful time of year. And I want you to think of it that way. Too many people think of Lent as, oh my goodness, I have to fast. I can't even have cream in my coffee. I'm going to miss meat so much. Services are longer. I'm tired of doing prostrations. Father Seraphim, all he ever talks about is prostrations. I wish he'd stop talking about prostrations. I'm not going to stop talking about prostrations. I'm not at all. Because prostrations open your heart to God. That's what you're trying to do this Lent, okay? And it's a beautiful, wonderful time. I want you to look forward to it with anticipation. And then when you get tired in the middle of Great Lent, everybody does. Then we have the Sunday of the Cross, and we do the prostrations before the cross, in which we go down representing death, and we come back up, the resurrection, and we're somehow reinvigorated. And then you have 3 more weeks to go, and then comes Holy Week. And then we relive all of the Lord's things that he did during Holy Week, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Thursday, and then, of course, Friday, and then he was in the grave, some of Friday and all of Saturday, and perhaps just a moment on Sunday. This is a beautiful time. I want you to look forward to it, but I want you to put effort into it. And I'll tell you something. I hope no one is offended. I hope it's not easy for you. I don't want it to be easy. You shouldn't want it to be easy. You should want it to be great, is what you should want it to be. You should want it to be something that illuminates you, that makes you alive in some way that you weren't alive before, that makes you awake in a way that you were sleepy before. I find it in modern life, I see so many incredible contradictions, and sometimes they're just so horrible and terrible. Here's a contradiction, this dissonance of people that say they're woke, they're asleep. Because to be awake is to have God in your heart and to have the morals of the gospel in your heart. Not just to say things that other people say because they're said a lot on TV or on the internet or whatever. So we are to try to be really awake. So come into Great Lent tomorrow morning, tonight for that matter. Don't eat too much tonight. And then say the prayer of St. Ephrem. either by yourself or with your entire family, with the prostrations and with the bows. And then in the morning, make sure that you say your prayers and make sure that you say the prayer of Saint Ephrem at a minimum. Perhaps you can decide to get up a little earlier, because if you get up too late, then you know what happens. The children are up. This is happening. That's happening. You have to do this before work, etc., etc., etc. So perhaps you get up 15 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour earlier. Or perhaps if God awakens you at 2 in the morning, that happens to us, doesn't it? Then why don't you get up? Why don't you pray for an hour with the Jesus prayer? If you fall back asleep, that's a blessed sleep. So try to make a little more effort during this Great Lent. You can't make the effort of the stylites and of the hermits of old, and even now there are hermits still. God preserves the world because of the prayers of the saints. You can do a little bit more. And what you think you can do more than that. You can't do a lot more than that, but you can do more. And this is a real Christian principle. This is one of the things that's this golden nugget of information that people often don't know. You can do more than you think you can do. A little bit more. You can also do more than you think you want to do. A little bit more. A little bit more. So if you normally don't fast very well, try to fast a little bit better. If you normally don't pray in the morning, try to pray in the morning. If you normally don't pray in the evening, pray in the evening. If you haven't read anything besides a Reader's Digest for a long time, or the TV listings or something, then try to read something. Try to read something good and spiritual, either the readings of the day. We're going to be going through Isaiah and Genesis and Proverbs in the beginning, and later on some of the other books, all of the Old Testament. It's fantastic to read it. You could read another good book like the Ladder of Divine Ascent. As long as you should ask me about that, because that's an incredible book. But some people take it too literally, especially Step 5, and they kind of lose their way. I love that book. I've read it every single Great Lent since forever, a long time ago. I have a funny story to tell you about it, though. I've told some of you. So I bought the Ladder of Divine Ascent very early as an Orthodox Christian when I was in Indianapolis. And it was it's a beautiful book, you know. It's got this beautiful paper, eggshell paper. The printing's fantastic. It's red and black, and it's a crisp, beautiful, well-crafted book. And so I have this book in my hand, and I get out of the car, and it's raining, and I drop it in the gutter, and it gets wet. I was so mad. I was so mad. And then I'm looking at this book, mad. Well, I can't say I did it right away, because I think I stayed mad for a little while. Back then, I stayed mad a little bit longer, because I was 21 years old, you know? I mean, I hardly knew anything. When I cooled down, I looked at that book, and I thought, I have this book about being rid of the passions, and I can't even be rid of the passions if it gets wet. I still have that book. It's all crinkled up, but it's a treasure to me. And perhaps, since I remember this incident, and I remember it often, perhaps in some way God woke me up a little bit about how stupid anger is, right? How foolish and how just wasteful anger is. And perhaps because of that lesson, I've learned to get a little bit less angry. So that's what you're going to be looking to do during Great Lent, I hope. Just open your heart to God. But you got to do the work. If you don't do the work, you won't get anything done. You got to do the work. It's not meant to be easy. You have to do the work. But then your heart opens, and God comes to your heart, and God illuminates you, and you feel you experience Him in some way. So please look at Lent in this way, that this is the time to wake up, that your salvation is nearer to you than when you first believed. Shouldn't it be nearer? Shouldn't you be a better person than you were yesterday? Or at least last year, shouldn't you be? We should. There are things that we did in our youth that we shouldn't want to do anymore. Not even think about doing anymore, be repulsed by, right? We should have better prayer than, let's say, a year ago. We should be just kinder than a year ago. Much less a day ago, we should be kinder than a day ago. It should be a progression. But it's like a journey takes a million steps. Each step is necessary, but when you're in the beginning of the journey, each step doesn't appear to make you get closer to your goal. But it does. So everything you do in Great Lent will bring you closer to your salvation. It'll open your heart so that God will come in your heart. God will not go to places he's not invited. He can force his way anywhere he wants, but he won't do it because we have free will. But our free will has been tainted, right? It's been sort of damaged so that actually sometimes we don't have free will. We actually are slaves to sin, sometimes without even knowing it. And God waits for us patiently. And we open up our heart just a tiny, tiny bit, and light comes in, and warmth comes in, and life comes in. That's what you're looking to do. Now, I have another saying that I say a lot. If you can't stop sinning, at least be kind. We should live that way. You can be kind. You can love your brother. You can forgive your brother. Now, you might not be able to remember to say your prayers or not even feel like saying your prayers in the morning, and you might just skip them, or you might be lazy, or you might get shanghaied by the hamburger place down the street. Those things can happen, but you can be kind. You can do it, and you can forgive. That's why at the beginning of Great Lent, right on the threshold, right on the door, we have this gospel where the Lord speaks about forgiving. Now, he says it in a very shocking way. And we have to hear the hard sayings as well as the good sayings. We like the sayings about that he who began a good work and you will complete it until the day of my Christ Jesus. We love, I call you friends. We love, I go to prepare a place for you. We love those sayings. But the Lord also said this, and it's just as true. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we must forgive as a foundation of just being a human being. Since we're made in the image of God, God forgives easily, freely, without any effort. Sometimes we have to forgive with some effort. But you forgive your brother. You forgive your enemy. You forgive the person you don't like. You forgive that person who's hurt you. Maybe years ago. Maybe they're dead. Forgive them. Now, how are you going to forgive them? This is not a mental exercise, okay? Christianity is not just what you think. It's also what you do based on what you think and what you believe. So we can't just say we forgive somebody unless we are concerned for their welfare, unless we want them to do better, unless we want them to be saved. Unless we pray for them. So this is how you are sure that you are at least on your way to forgiving someone. God will not judge you if it's difficult for you to forgive someone. If when you think about somebody, your heart contracts and you get cold in your heart and you get this angry feeling. That happens to us. Every single person in this room it's happened to. Every single one. Well, maybe not one. That one right there. Not her. Not yet. Okay? But it will. I'm looking at your baby, right? Not yet, not for her, but it will. It will happen, right? And what do we do with those feelings? You pray for people and you struggle to do other things maybe that are evidence that you have forgiven a person, right? Don't speak about them rashly or falsely. Don't slander them. And pray for them. So some of you, I might not have a prayer list. That's another thing I talk about a lot, probably as much as prostrations, right? As much as reading the gospel. Have a prayer list. And on that list, before your children, before your wife, before your husband, the people that you have trouble forgiving, pray for them first. And you will have great benefit in your soul if you do that. Now, we have to recognize that there are people we might have trouble with. Perhaps we say, oh no, I'm good with everybody. Maybe that's true. It's probably not. I remember once I was speaking with someone who had an incident, you know, had a problem with somebody. I said, such and such, how do you feel about, have you been praying for her? And he says, well, to tell the truth, I haven't even been thinking about her. you know, I've forgiven her. I don't even think about her. And I called foul on that. It's a significant person in his life that had harmed him, hurt him very badly, and he no longer thought about her. Did he forgive her? Nah, not at all. So I told him he had to start praying for her. And to this day, I think he still is. So work on forgiving people. Work on really rooting out of you those tentacles of darkness that are in there, right? When you have bad feelings about people. Pray for them. That's so critically important. And if you can pray with prostrations, that's fantastic. I think the people you should prostrate for are the people that you have the most trouble with and that you love the most. So obviously your family, and then also those people that you have trouble with. And do prostrations. Now the Lord also talked about fasting. And he said, don't be like the hypocrites. So what he's referring to is that the Pharisees especially, and the Jewish ruling elite, they would fast, but then they would look like they were, you know, death warmed over when they walked around. And their faces would be drawn, and they might not have cleaned their face, and they were making it everybody sure that I'm pious and I'm fasting. The Lord says, you won't get a reward for that. Anoint your face, wash your face anointed with oil, and don't let men see you're fasting. Now, you should let your priest know how you're doing, but not everybody else. And fast for the purpose of enlightenment. Fast for the purpose of becoming vigorous. Fast to be more alive, because you will be more alive if you keep the fast. It'll be a marvelous thing. When it gets to be the middle of Great Lent, I feel smarter than I ever feel. I feel more alive than I ever feel. I feel stronger than I ever feel in the middle of Great Lent, in the middle of fasting. And you can experience that too. So fasting is not to feel terrible. Fasting is not to say, I'm a horrible person and therefore I've got to fast, or I really hate fasting. Fasting is to come alive. It will really help you come alive. Because we are creatures that have a body and we have a soul. And each has different needs. Each is part our humanity in total. Each one needs something different. The body needs physical discipline. Because if the body has physical discipline, it helps the soul with mental discipline. So try to fast a little bit better than you normally have this Great Lent. And with an attitude that you're expecting God to visit you. You're expecting to become better in your heart. Because that's what Great Lent is for. So it is indeed high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. May God grant you a good Lent, not an easy Lent, sometimes a hard Lent, but an invigorating Lent. God bless you.